Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
America does not have the world's fastest internet speeds, but American consumers are deluged with content. Once reserved for premium cable subscribers, vast libraries worth of content, movies, TV shows, games, are now all available for a price on your TV thanks to the internet.
And there are many choices. Apple TV, Google's Chromecast, Netflix, Hulu, on and on and on and on. And given all of this online content, it didn't really surprise many people when retailing giant Amazon jumped into the fray recently with their own piece of hardware, the Fire TV.
And joining us now to talk more about this latest addition in the content landscape, including a big case before the Supreme Court next week, is Hiawatha Bray. He's a technology writer for the business section of the Boston Globe. And Hiawatha, great to have you back on Radio Boston.
Glad to be here.
So what is Amazon Fire and what does it do?
Well, Amazon Fire TV is actually very similar to a bunch of other products you've already heard of, like Apple TV, Roku, Google Chromecast, a bunch of these devices that are designed to allow you to attach them to a standard television and stream internet content directly into the TV. There are a bunch of these floating around now, and they all work in very similar ways, but the one from Amazon tries to make itself distinctive in a number of interesting ways. For example, it has an unusually powerful quad-core processor and a special chip just for processing graphics. And the reason is that they are creating games for it. Some pretty good ones, too. In fact, Amazon actually now owns its own video game design company, and they are going to be designing games to put on this device. I'm skeptical about this because I think the kind of person who buys this isn't all that much into gaming. And cheap, low-cost consoles, the Fire TV only costs $99, haven't really done all that well. But hey, maybe Amazon will prove me wrong.
Yeah, but isn't one of the things they're into, though, or trying to do here is to really kind of get people into the Amazon universe, though?
Oh, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Same thing that they did with the Kindle Fire tablet. Basically, they got people to buy these tablets, which they should. They're excellent tablets. But in the process, you didn't just buy a tablet. You bought a storefront. Mm-hmm. Now, every time you open your tablet, in effect, you've just walked into Amazon.com. Now, Fire TV doesn't do that yet, but I'm predicting that it will. You will sit down in front of your TV. Right now, it's not there yet, but one of the menu options is inevitably they're going to have one that says shopping, and you'll click on it, and you'll be in Amazon.com, and you'll sit there being able to buy anything you want while sitting in front of your TV. And one reason why that might work pretty well is because of the other big feature of Fire TV, which is a really good feature for searching for things with your voice. It really works quite well. You take the remote, you press a button, you say what you're looking for. I mean, you've seen the commercial with Gary Busey, right?
Yes, yes.
Where he sits there and says, Gary Busey. And all of a sudden, all the videos and TV shows in which he's ever appeared, they pop up on your TV screen, and now you can just sit there and go, all right, I want to see this one. I want to see this one. Imagine being able to do that with clothes, shoes, books, computers. You can see that's where it's heading.
You mean find me new running shoes.
Exactly.
Size 9. Right.
That's okay. Inevitably what they're going to end up doing with it, and it's a great idea. They ought to do it.
Interesting.
The problem right now, though, is that Fire TV as a TV device is not much better than the ones that are already out there. In some respects, it's worse, like Roku, which isn't as well-known a name, but I would say that a company called Roku makes the best such boxes out there. And if you get a Roku, they have a search feature, for example. You can't do it with your voice. Well, actually, that's not even true. They just brought out an app. If you have an iPhone, you'll be able to do Roku searches with your voice. And the Roku search service is much better because Amazon's only searches Amazon content.
If you have
a Roku, you can search simultaneously Netflix, Vudu. There's a Redbox online. There's a Blockbuster online. And you can check video in all these sites at once. And you can't do that yet with Amazon Fire TV.
Well, I want to ask you about the sort of lasting power of these boxes, Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to be short-lived, aren't they, more or less?
I think so. Because
TVs are going to basically be all internet compatible.
Hey, eventually. Already. I tested these things. But at home, there's no way I'd use one because we have a 6-month-old Samsung TV. It's already got Amazon Prime on it. Mm-hmm. It's got Netflix on it. It's got Hulu on it. You just plug right into the TV and watch it there. And that's the way all TVs are going. These boxes will survive because there are millions of older sets out there, and people will use the boxes for that. But as soon as you buy a new TV, you're not going to need these boxes. This is going to become standard issue. In fact, Roku is getting ready for it already. They have already done deals with two TV manufacturers. They're going to build Roku right into the TV. And don't be surprised if Amazon doesn't end up doing the same thing. They're going to build full-service Amazon into some of these TVs. You watch.
Interesting. Well, let's look a bit wider, Hiawatha, at the landscape of online TV and talk about this big case in front of the Supreme Court next week. Aereo, a company started...
Absolutely.
Okay, so I just want to give the background on this. So Aereo is a company started in Boston that lets subscribers watch...
No, actually, they started in New York.
Oh, excuse me. Thought it was Boston, but
no,
New York.
No, they do business in Boston, but they were founded in New York.
Gotcha. Okay, so Aereo lets subscribers watch broadcast TV and record it online. It's been challenged. It's going before the Supreme Court. Remind us what this case is about.
Well, basically, the reason this case absolutely terrifies TV broadcasters is not so much that Aereo is capturing TV broadcasts and sending them to people over the internet. That's not what bothers them. What bothers them is they're not paying for it. Oh, yes, that's the real problem. You see, the thing is that if you're on cable, if you're watching cable like on CBS, CBS is on cable, that cable company is paying millions and millions of dollars to be able to show CBS on cable. Aereo is not paying a dime to retransmit CBS, ABC, Fox, etc. And if they are allowed to get away with it, the cable companies say they're going to do the exact same thing. At least one cable company, Time Warner, has said, hey, if Aereo can do this without paying for retransmission fees, why the heck should we? If this is allowed to stand, it will completely set broadcast television on its ear. It could just be totally transformative. If, on the other hand, Aereo loses, we're basically stuck with what we got now.
Right.
And we don't know who's going to win, because on the western part of the United States, Aereo has lost in court. In the eastern part of the United States, in federal court, Aereo has won. Court judges have said, yeah, what they're doing is perfectly legal. So we don't know yet who's going to win. This is going to be one of the biggest cases to determine the future of entertainment in America that's come along in a long time.
Really, really interesting. So if you're a consumer and you're looking, hoping somehow to decouple yourself from those expensive cable packages, you ought to be rooting for Aereo, it sounds
like. Yeah, basically, that's right. Absolutely. They're sitting here saying, look, this is the way. You don't have to keep using cable, because you buy, for example, Netflix or HBO Go or something like that so you can get premium content. And for broadcast, you pay us $8 a month, and we will just pipe television broadcasts into whatever device, your TV, your laptop, whatever. And between those two things, you get your live TV, you get your premium TV, and you can get rid of traditional cable altogether. Mm. That's what a lot of people are saying about this, yes.
All right, so interesting. So it's prevailed in the West, not in the East. What's your gut tell you about how this is going to come out? Or are you not a betting man on this case?
I have no idea. This is going to be one of those really close call, 5-4 kinds of things, because the broadcasters do, I think, have at least some legitimate argument that these guys are retransmitting copyrighted information or entertainment without paying a dime. And they're saying that's just not fair. It's just not fair. But previous cases have left some grounds for saying, well, in this case it is, because you're broadcasting the stuff for interception over the air free of charge. Why can't this company do the same thing? So it could go either way.
Well, we'll be watching. Hiawatha Bray, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
That's Hiawatha Bray. He writes about technology for the business section of the Boston Globe. He's also author of the new book, You Are Here, From the Compass to GPS, The History and Future of How We Find Ourselves.
Well, stick with us, because coming up, the head of disaster training for Boston EMS talks about what will be on his mind as he returns to the finish line for Monday's 118th running of the Boston Marathon. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.